This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora e ho mana o mai, haere mai, ko Hana toko ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now, if you were listening last week, you may have heard me plugging the show, and now I've managed to get a cast member and the director of the show in the studio with me today. How good. We love to see it. Well, I guess we love to hear it, don't we? Ron and Cara from Hamilton Playbox's upcoming production of Unnecessary Farce are here to give me a look behind the curtains, or should I say a door? Or should I say actually doors?
Doors.
Doors. Doors. Definitely
yeah.
Doors.
Yeah, so yep. Many doors.
What a way to start. I didn't even be like, hey, guys, bring up the doors and you guys are straight in there.
Yes.
Eight doors.
Yes.
Eight doors.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that that made it into the blurb because it feels important.
Oh, definitely important. It's all about timing, pace and doors and people getting knocked out with doors.
Yes. Okay, great.
And I was going to say, I touch all the doors.
Do you?
Oh, she does.
I do.
She gets slammed against the wall several times.
Okay, if you want to see that.
Yes, come along.
Just head along to the show, but I'll rewind a bit because in case you haven't gathered, Unnecessary Farce is a comedy. I just want to make that clear. It's not a
serious. Consequently, the name Farce.
Yes, that's a key giveaway.
It is. Yes.
I mean, I had to look it up, but yeah.
How old are you?
Not old.
Not old.
Actually, I'm not sure myself, and I've been rehearsing with her for ages. How old are you, Cara?
I'm 21.
Oh, there you go. She's 21.
Same.
I hope to be 21 again.
I was like, oh, it's a comedy. No, it's called a farce. Oh,
it's
thank
a farce.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to hear that you learned something out in the gate. But so Unnecessary Farce, it is a comedy. It is a farce.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of doors, eight, I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yes. And so you guys, it's being produced by Hamilton Playbox, friends of That's The Ticket, Kia ora team. Shout out to Liz, friend of the show. I don't think I've ever actually had Liz on the show, but she organises interviews for me and I'm very grateful. And so, yeah, the show is on at Rivoli Theatre. You guys are opening quite soon. It's running 13th to 28th of March, correct?
Correct, yep. Yes.
Great. And I guess the last thing I want to ask you about it is kind of what's it all about? It is up to you guys how spoilery we get.
Well, the premise of it is set in a cheap motel with two motel rooms that are joined with interlocking doors, connecting doors.
Mm.
Okay, in one motel room there are these two cops.
Mm.
In the other motel room there is the mayor and his secretary and his accountant.
Yeah.
Now the idea is it's a sting operation. Okay. Now, the mayor is being accused of embezzling $16 million.
That'll do it.
Okay, that'll do it, yeah. And so the accountants are not, and we're going to get the goods on the mayor.
Mm.
Okay, so it's a sting operation. But things have a nasty way of turning upside down.
Okay.
So, it is called an eight-door farce. A farce, as opposed to a straight comedy, is you could call it a comedy on steroids.
Yeah. The only way I want to define farce is by saying that it's farcical, and I realise that that's not helpful.
No, never mind.
Fast pace, and it makes everything into a joke, just about.
Yeah.
You know that piece of music where it's like, and people are like running around and there's a chase? Is it that energy?
Think Benny Hill.
Okay, that'll do it. Yep.
Think Benny Hill. Exactly that. But, yeah, a farce is like comedy on steroids, and it's all about pace and timing and energy.
Okay.
So it's not an easy one for the cast to do because all the dialogue has to be spot on and very quick and, as I say, fast-paced.
Yes, and if you haven't gathered by now, dear listeners, Ron's the director.
Yes, I'm not.
No, and I guess this is a cheeky question to ask, but I'm going to do it because it's my radio show. Is it actually funny?
I have been doing... Now, I'm serious here, right, without a word of a lie. I've been doing comedy for about 35 years, or basically comedy on theatre for around 35 years.
There's no way you're old enough for that, mate.
Okay. We're all 21.
Yeah.
And all my life.
I'm directing this show and we are having a ball. I mean, obviously, with rehearsals, we see the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are lots of things that every time we see it over and over again, we are killing ourselves in laughter. We are laughing so much. I've said to my cast, this is the funniest show that I've ever had the pleasure of being involved with. It is so, so funny.
That's a big call to make, but I respect it.
But the cast make it funny as well. It's not just the dialogue and the pace and everything, but the cast are brilliant. You know, I must give myself credit for that. I picked the perfect cast for the characters in the show.
Okay.
And that'll come across when everybody out there comes to see it. They will see that this cast is cast, people are cast perfectly for their roles.
I mean, I was not asked, but...
No, Henny, you weren't, to be honest. We did put it out there and you were quite free to audition, but you never turned up.
Just, I'm invite only, guys. Oh. When you reach my level of celebrity status...
Guess I'm not up there.
Yeah.
No, well done, shot Ron. Great job. Good job making it about you on the show that is about me. And now let's talk about Cara, because, you know, you get a moment, maybe a couple minutes, to make it about you. So you're in the show.
Yes,
you
I
are
am.
A cast.
I am a cast.
Tell me, what role are you portraying for this one?
I am playing a cop called Billy Dwyer.
Okay.
She is a lovely ray of sunshine who is not good at her job, but she's trying her best.
This is very relatable content.
Yes.
Let's just come out and say it. She's really an idiot.
Oh, yes. She's not that dumb.
Okay.
She does do some smart things.
I'll let you have your say. Oh, does she? Oh, yeah, she does actually.
She knows she has to handcuff the criminal.
Yeah, but then she doesn't do that right either.
She tries her best.
Yeah. Her self-defense isn't very good either.
Hey, my self-defense is fine.
Okay. I mean, now I really just want to see what is going on now.
Yes, exactly.
To be honest.
You should come.
I mean, I might. We'll see if you convince me by the end of the show. But if you're listening and you kind of want to put some faces to some voices or see if Ron has hyped it up too much. No, I'm kidding. then you can visit iTicket and get tickets. As mentioned, the show's opening on the 13th of March and running until the 28th of March. You've got 7:30 p.m. shows and 2 p.m. matinees on the 21st and the 28th of March.
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeehaw, we love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to take a moment. It's always the way here on That's the Ticket is I always get people in on the show for an interview when they're either in the midst of Tech Week or about to get into it. And I'm just here being like, hey, this is great. And you guys are like, what day is it? I've been at the theatre for like 90 days. So I appreciate you taking the time. And this is a segue into my next cheeky radio host question, which is, are you guys in your Tech Week yet? Have you got into the theatre?
No, Tech Week, we've got this coming week. Tech Week is next week.
Okay.
Very close.
Are you ready for it? Are you ready to get to that next level?
Next question, please. the cast are great, okay? Mm. Like I say, unfortunately, we cannot get onto the stage really until Tech Week with Rivoli Theatre, because Rivoli Theatre is such a busy theatre.
It is.
I've been casting shows in Te Awamutu and Matamata, and of course you can get onto those stages from day one of rehearsal.
Yeah.
Okay, but Rivoli Theatre is another beast where you've got so much going on.
Yeah.
And plus with the Arts Festival and everything, we were the wet weather venue.
Yes, you were.
Okay. So unfortunately, what happened this year was we put in a show that was highly, our rehearsal period was shorter than usual.
Yeah.
Okay. And which doesn't bear well for a show of this calibre. Of this thing, right? But in saying that, the cast have stepped up and they've become amazing.
I feel like it's kind of like, I hope it's been like the right amount of pressure.
That's
like
true.
Having that small window, you're like, we've just got to go for it.
That's right. When you are under pressure, you do, you know, dig in there.
Mm.
And the cast have been doing so hard. They've been working so hard at it. They really have. I mean, I've got some cast here. I mean, Cara, for instance, here. Let me plug Cara here, please. She is absolutely amazing. She'll be the first one to tell you that.
Mm. Right? Oh, yeah, I'm amazing.
Okay. I don't think I've seen you with a script in your hand. Have you?
Yeah. Yeah. We were blocking scenes out. I have a script in my hand. I mean, no, I don't.
You've just
don't
made me sound silly.
I don't have a script in my hand.
Don't even look at my cast. No. But honestly, Cara is amazing. She's absolutely amazing. She has got some dialogue in there. She has got one set of dialogue which I can say without a doubt is guaranteed to have an applause.
Okay.
Yeah.
After one piece of dialogue, she'll get an applause.
Okay.
It is amazing. Because when we first did the read-through, I said to Cara, we got to this, I said, Cara, this is my favourite piece of dialogue.
Oh, no pressure.
Okay. Exactly.
So what she did is she went home and that was the first thing she she thinks.
Yeah, because there's a bit of like bit of fast pace,
very fast
B work.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a tongue twister in places. Yeah. Too.
So I learned that part first.
Okay.
And she does it so well.
It's like red leather, yellow leather on
steroids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We won't say what's in it, but yeah.
Yeah. So I learned that part and then I learned the part before it and I was like, I just put it all together.
Good job.
Yeah. We were sitting there and our mouths were just open.
Yeah.
Like, what are we listening to
here? I
can
confirm that he did mime his mouth being open.
Yes.
Just because it's radio, we're the only people who can see you right now.
Yeah.
So I just had to give the audio description there.
Okay, thank you for that.
But seeing as we've been having a lot of chat about the cast and this seems like for me to ask, you know, if you want to talk on some of the other people involved on the show, you don't have to do the whole list because that gets scary sometimes. It's up to you.
It's not
There's
a
like
big
eight
list.
Of us in it.
All right, hit me.
Okay, first of all, before I get onto the cast, I would honestly like to have a shout out to the person you mentioned before. That's Liz.
Yes.
Liz Shepherd. She is our production manager. Mm. She is absolutely amazing.
She is.
The show would not be what it is without Liz.
I agree. And I know very little about the show other than what I'm learning in real time right now.
Yeah. People seem to think the director is up here. He's charge of everything, but Liz does more.
No,
Liz,
you're not important.
No, not important at all. Not important at all. But the production manager, Liz, she does everything else.
Yes.
Right? She gets rights, she lays out rehearsal times and everything. She does everything and she's truly amazing. And she's there at every single rehearsal.
Shot Liz.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shot
should
Liz.
Should we clap? Do we clap?
Yes, I think we should clap.
Let's clap.
Hey, Liz.
I don't know if that sounded good. if you're in your car and like, freaking out.
Sorry.
I apologise. Drive safely. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Okay, with our cast, we have, I've got to count them now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cast members. We've got Cameron Law.
Mm.
He plays our hitman.
Okay, quick question.
Yes.
I was told I wasn't allowed to ask this question, so I'm going to ask because now there's an audience.
Yeah, you can ask.
What's the name of the hitman?
We cannot tell you the name of the hitman because the... if you say the name of the hitman, it sends shivers down your spine.
Okay. So
it is really
it
scary.
It is really scary.
So he's going to be called Hitman right now.
So he's just Hitman right now.
Okay, I really want to guess, but that's going to delay what's happening, so please continue, but thank you for sharing.
He's a very big guy, and he suits his role to a T.
Okay.
Okay. And we have someone you've met before, Cara.
Yeah.
Cara Tor, what we call our bumbling police officer. Okay. He doesn't quite get things right.
Shot Cara.
We have Arthur Van Riesenham. He's the other cop.
He is a friend of the show, Kia Ora Mate.
Yes, he is. He's also on the committee, Playbox committee.
He's just kind of everywhere.
He
and,
is.
Yeah.
He plays another sort of bumbling cop. Is it bumbling? Is the word bumbling?
No, he's not bumbling. We don't bumble our words, thank you.
No, I'm not talking about words but your actions.
Just general bumbly energy.
General.
No,
yeah.
We're cool.
Yeah, but he plays that
he's a great partner.
To a T.
Sweet.
And, of course, there's Kat Dwyer. You'll know Kat.
Yes, I'm not sure if I've had Kat yet, but she's come up on the show often.
Yeah.
So, kia ora, mate.
She's very much involved in theatre.
Yes.
She was recently in
Unconscious.
Calendar Girls.
And
Unconscious.
Calendar Girls,
yes.
Yep.
She was, okay. So we saw quite of a lot of her in Calendar Girls.
Yes.
Yes.
I see what you're doing. You were also in Calendar Girls.
I was also in Calendar
Briefly.
Girls. Yes, yes. But, yeah, you didn't see too much of me.
Thank goodness.
Girls, as you did, Kat. Yeah, Kat plays the accountant who is actually in her underwear a lot of the time. And sort
don't know why.
We don't know why.
Okay.
But so she's more or less typecast. She tends to spend a lot of time in her underwear and doing things like this.
Just want to put it out there that we respect Kat.
And we love
her.
Kat to death.
Yeah.
And which is why I cast her because she just... Shall I say typecast?
I don't
but
know.
But she plays a part well.
I mean, she is crack up as well.
I think I play my part well.
Yeah. And she's a little bit, let's face it, she's a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
She's a little bit crazy. Okay. And of course, there's Nick Wells.
Yes. Yeah.
Nick Wells, he's very much he's a life member of Playbox, much a theatre
He comes up on the show often. Yeah. I can't remember if I've had him. I feel like I may have. I don't know.
Yeah. He works for the city council, and funnily enough, we cast him as the mayor.
Good shout.
Good shout.
His mayor voice is like, oh my God, that's the mayor.
He's hilarious. He is hilarious. And there's Greg Matitaka. He plays Frank, the security agent.
Okay.
Who is actually afraid of his own shadow.
That'll do it. That seems like a good combo.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good combo. It's an amazing cast.
You forgot someone.
Who did I forget?
Name
Michelle.
And shame.
Oh, Michelle. Oh God. Her. Michelle Ranganui. I'm sorry, Michelle, if you're listening. I'm sorry.
I remembered you.
Yeah. Yeah, put it down to nervousness on a radio.
Yeah, I'm very intimidating.
She's okay, the
and
wife.
This lady is intimidating, Michelle, I'm sorry. Yes, Michelle Ranganui, she plays Mrs. Meekly, who is the mayor's wife.
Okay, shot yeah. Michelle, Kelda.
Yeah.
She's she, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is a meek and mild, sort of comes across first as meek and mild, but then she changes dramatically, so I won't say any more than that.
Okay, this is making it really hard for me to not ask questions.
It's like a movie premiere. We can't tell you anything about it.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how often I get this on that certificate.
Ooh. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you another question as well, because we're getting to that time where it's about, you know, music o'clock.
Oh, yes.
And so Liz is like, I'm like, hey, are there any songs you want me to play? And she's like, play Scotland the Brave. And that was it. No context. And so why?
Why Scotland the Brave?
Yeah.
Because it becomes all about the Scottish Mafia.
Okay.
The hitman is Scottish.
Okay.
And Mrs. Meekly, the mayor's wife, turns out to be... Shall I say this?
Yeah.
You've got me on the edge of my seat,
buddy. She turns out
to
be the head of the Scottish Mafia.
Oh, that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I will put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say she was Scottish.
A little bit of a spoiler there.
I want to see that happen now.
Yep, so that's why we've got Scotland the Brave. Also, Scotland the Brave plays on the hitman's cell phone when it rings.
I was going to say, is this piece of music used in the show?
Yes.
And if nothing else, you've got to come in to see our hitman in his full Scottish regalia.
Mm. Oh, you're going from the whole nine yards.
From the sporran to the kilt to the big fluffy hat.
Do I ask about what's under the kilt? This is a family-friendly show, actually, so maybe I shouldn't.
Well, actually, you'll probably discover that when you come and see the show.
Leave it up to your imagination.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it to your imagination. And he plays the bagpipes. Just before he kills somebody.
Okay.
Okay, so there is a piece of bagpipes playing.
Sweet. I mean, I do love a bit of bagpipes. And we're probably about to get some bagpipes. Yeah. So I've gone for Scotland the Brave. It's the pipes and drums of the Royal Tank Regiment.
Yes.
I don't know if this is the version you use, but it's a version I found.
Yep. Right.
Sounds great.
That'll do the job.
Go for it.
All right. Yeehaw.
Thank you.
That was Scotland the Brave, and I've said it before on That's the Ticket, and I will say it again many times, but I really do love bagpipes. Very stirring, and I feel like it's going to be interesting in an unnecessary farce, because it's a farce, it's a comedy. And so I'm like, will I still feel the same way about the bagpipes, or will it be in a more comedic setting so I'll both feel moved and the urge to laugh?
Both.
Chaos
both.
Will ensue.
Both.
Yeah.
That's me, both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it a cry laugh show?
It's definitely not a cry show.
No.
A cry laugh? Yes.
Depends if you like the characters.
Yes. Actually, it's funny. One of the most, it's all very funny, but the bit that really gets us in stitches is the hitman. Cameron is absolutely amazing. He nails it because he's got this thick Scottish brogue.
Yeah.
Right? And he gets mad, he gets angry, and it's just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Okay. I mean, that'll do it for me, to be honest. Is anyone else doing accents? Are you doing your voice, or are you
doing my voice?
Eric Arthur is doing an American accent.
Okay.
Because mainly he started out doing an American accent.
Yeah.
The play is actually set in America.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I'm not a fan of accents, because if you don't get it right,
then it's all anyone can focus on.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's all people focus on. Oh, it didn't sound like American. It sounded like Irish.
That's
the thing. But Arthur, he started out rehearsing his lines in American. That right,
yeah,
and I couldn't get him out of it.
I thought,
leave it, stay American. I mean, we're an eclectic group. We come from everywhere, so yeah, that's fine. So we have one person who's got a very strong Scottish accent, and one with an American accent.
And then Michelle does Scottish. She does Scottish.
She does. She does Scottish, and she does it very well.
Mm.
But no, Michelle is a New Zealand Maori.
So
we're at a eclectic group. So.
I mean, I think the key thing is we focus on the words, we focus on the script, because I've heard that it's a good script.
Well, it's an award-winning play.
That'll do it.
Right.
Mm. It is an award-winning play. I'm blanking on the playwright. I should have written that down. It's all
you
right.
You have your script, Ron.
Oh, yes.
You are.
Why don't we just do a reading of the play?
The playwright is Paul Slade-Smith.
Yes, okay, yeah. Kia ora, Paul.
One thing I will say, that, you know, people hear about a thing, they say, unnecessary, oh, well, I'll Google it and I'll go on YouTube and have a look. Sometimes that's not a good idea. You get the gist of what the show's about.
Yeah.
But just to be blunt, right, some of the YouTube stuff is rubbish. You know, I hate to say that, but I've seen clips and everything. I thought, my God, you know, I'm certainly not going to do that.
You sound like a director, mate.
I mean, I've also seen stuff and I'm like, ooh, it didn't hit the mark.
And also, when you know the script, you thought, oh, that wasn't in the script.
They added that on.
And if we've learned nothing, is that it's very important, the pace and sticking to the script to hit those marks is key, is what we've learned so far.
Yes. Yeah, especially with this show, it's very important. We have had a cast member who found it very difficult because we're so adamant on having those words exactly as they're written, because a lot of those words, most of them are actually cues for the other people.
Yeah, 100%.
They give their cues. And once the pace falls down, I mean, there goes the show.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask a question to the cast.
Yes.
So you were already talking about how you've got apparently a segment or set of lines that are going to bring people to their feet or to applauding.
Yeah.
But I always like when I have actors on the show, and I guess, Ron, you can answer this too, because you've done a bit of everything, mate. It's a bit much, to be honest. Like, you've been an actor, you've directed, you've done all sorts of stuff. But I guess, Cara, line learning, what's the method?
Don't ask me, because I find it very easy.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
It's because you're 21.
Yeah, it is, actually.
It's the brain, it's like a sponge still.
Yeah.
I just act out the scene and it kind of just sticks in my head. If it doesn't, I go home, I go over the lines, and that's it. That just the one time was fine for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Unless I mess it up and then I go back and I'll look at it again. Otherwise, it's fine.
I want to tell you to leave, but you are interesting to talk to. But, like, for jokes purposes, get out.
Sorry.
Like, come on, buddy. Okay. Is there... It's just... I've had people, like, have everyone's different. Everyone learns differently.
They do.
A lot of people do the recording and listening to the lines.
I did that. I realised I didn't use it.
Okay.
I didn't do it, though.
You're big on that one, Ron.
No, what I do, and I got picked up by a cop for doing this.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I didn't know why he was pulling me over. Mm. And it's because I was learning my lines.
Yeah. In the car? Yeah.
What I do is I've got a dictaphone.
Right? Yeah.
And I have, not necessarily a cast member, anyone that I know, to read my cue lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I read the next line, and then I start listening to it. And there'll be a gap between my friend does and what I do, so I can read the line first.
Mm.
And if I get it right, I just carry on. But if I miss it, I go back and I start all over again. So I start back and forth, and slowly I get further and further away.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point, I was holding up my dictaphone like this, and I was heading to the gym, and next thing I see these lights behind me. I thought, oh, I wonder where he's going, right? So I carried on going, then I pulled into the gym, and he pulled into the gym. I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on here. And so I parked my car, and he parked behind me, and I looked out, and I said, you know, you're looking at me. He says, yeah. He says, your phone. I'm going, phone? I wasn't on a phone. Ah, penny drop. Ah, my dictaphone.
Yeah, yeah.
That is your phone.
Yeah, well, I told him, and he said, oh, fair enough, he says. But he said, well, yeah, this is a distraction, so please don't do it again.
Yeah, do it hands-free, actors.
Yeah.
Do it hands-free. Yeah. Play it through your aux cord or whatever.
Exactly. I do it at home, so I'm not driving.
Yeah, but I'm driving a lot, you see. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we edit that out of this?
Welcome to live radio, team.
Nope.
Welcome.
Okay. No, that didn't happen, folks. That was just something.
It ended with a moral at the end.
Yes, I did.
If you're driving
Don't do that, please.
Yeah,
please
if you're driving right now and listening to That's the Ticket, please put your dictaphone down.
Yes, please. Please.
You heard it here first. And then, you know, seeing as we've been talking about line learning and stuff, I kind of want to circle back. So, Ron, you said that the rehearsal period's been a bit shorter than usual.
Yes, it has.
When did you guys get started on this one?
We got started. When did we get started?
Like the 12th of January?
Middle of January?
That's so specific.
Yeah.
It was around that time when we did our first read through.
Yeah, right. We did our read through.
Yeah, we got our scripts in like December, but our first read through was in January.
So, really, we've only been rehearsing for about 6 weeks.
That is quite a short window,
and
James.
And next week is production week.
I'm impressed.
We spent most of that on the first half and a week on the second half, I will say.
Right. Yeah. And so how's it all been going? Obviously, it's been fast-paced, but, like, we've been vibing. I mean, you've been singing the praises of your cast, Ron.
Oh, of course. Well, I can't say too much about them. They're just great, absolutely great. I'm fortunate as a director to have such a cast.
Mm. See? No. But, I mean, how's it been for you, Cara?
No, it's been good, actually. I'm having fun with it.
Okay, we love that. We love that you're still having fun.
Yes.
That may fade. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm laughing at my cast members. I don't laugh at myself, like what I'm saying, because I don't find it funny.
Yeah.
But I'm laughing at all their other facial expressions and stuff when I'm waiting for my turn to be on.
Yeah, so you can't be doing that on stage.
No.
Is that hard? Have you had trouble with corpsing and corpsing being like when you accidentally slip out a character and laugh?
There is one moment in the show where Arthur does something funny. I am thankfully back turned to the audience at that point.
Yeah, okay. I see you laughing there with your back turned.
People can still see you like shaking.
It would be fine.
The laughy shoulders.
It would be fine though. You just say something really funny in a really funny way and I can't help myself.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing with farces too, it's everything is there. There's the intonations of the voices, there's the pauses in the right places. Okay, there's volume, facial expressions are very important as well.
Yeah.
Okay, how you hold yourself, your stance, exactly where you are on stage. So it's quite a thing to do, but when it all comes together, it's magic.
Yeah, I believe that. And I imagine it's quite a thing to do with the eight doors.
Like,
and I love doing this on That's the Ticket because obviously this is a very much an audio thing, but I always like asking about set on radio because no one can see it, but I'm assuming it's a bit of a beast.
Well, if you can imagine,
we have
two king size beds on stage.
Okay,
and on downstage we have on either side of the bed we have a bathroom door. Upstage on the other side of the bed we have closets.
Oh, I get what you mean by identical.
Yeah.
This is back-to-back hotel rooms. Yes.
And we've got connecting doors in between. So there's two connecting doors. Right? So there's two that actually open up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to know which ones to stays open, which one's closed.
Yes.
Mm. So it all, because she gets slammed behind one. And,
two.
Or two. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and then we've got hallway doors as well. And so as one door opens, one door closes, and so it's one coming in, someone coming out, and a door's going bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And so, but like I say, it's not easy, but when it comes together, it truly is magical.
Have you had practice with your doors yet?
No.
Okay.
I know. We've got all these doors, and not until Sunday.
You'll be right. She'll be right.
It makes it harder, because sometimes I get to a door, I go, which side is the door handle on? And my brain just freaks out on
You'll
me.
You'll get like, there.
But I have got the cast opening and closing imaginary doors. So
I feel like that helps, if you can visualise the door.
If I can remember what side the door handle's on.
Be one with the door. Like,
I can remember a week ago saying to Liz, who was sitting next to me, I said, they're getting the doors right. They're getting the doors right.
And she's good.
Yeah, she's just like, okay. Yeah. I assume.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm stoked that you guys get some door action soon.
Yes, we get a lot of action.
Oh, you thought that one was funny, did you?
Yeah.
There is a lot of action in the show, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, that's a sign. That's a sign. No, I've got another segment that I've got to get in. And if you guys have listened to That's the Ticket before, you may be familiar with a segment I have called Rick's Pick. So I have an Uncle Rick. He is a great listener of radio. That's the Ticket's number one fan. Actually, quite a regular volunteer down at Rivoli Theatre. He does a bit of mahi in the shed. And when I started That's the Ticket 255 episodes ago, congratulations, guys, he was like, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like, and each week you can pick a song from the list and we'll play Rick's Pick. And so I've done that, and I like it because it makes my job easier, because it means I don't have to pick my own songs. And now no one asks, but I have this new thing where I try and pick a song that relates to the people I'm talking to or what we're talking about. Mm. And so I've gone for an Elvis Presley song. It's called Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh,
because
I love that song.
This song is set, well, it's technically a motel, isn't it?
Yes.
But I took creative license. I get a bit English, you say, with my reasoning.
Yeah, fair enough.
For it, but, you know, it's in a motel. There's probably some heartbreak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I took a guess.
No,
there is actually.
Yeah, there is.
I was going to say it's no laughing matter, but I imagine it probably is. Eh?
Yeah.
But anyway, Uncle Rick, thanks as always for your picks, and this one's for you, mate. Enjoy.
Well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be just so lonely, I'll be so lonely, they could die. Flowing. The desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never, never look back and think you're so, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely, well, they're so lonely, and they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be. You're so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, you could die.
That was this week's Rick's Pick, Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis Presley track, because we've been talking about a fast that takes place in a motel. It works.
It works.
It works. Yeah, it works.
But welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, Hannah Mooney. I've got special guests from Unnecessary Farce, Ron and Cara. We've covered a lot of ground. I'm going to do that thing where I bring something we were talking about off air, on air, because no one is safe. No, but while we were in that song break, Ron, you were just talking about how, as the director, you're also stunt director for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Stunt coordinator.
You're putting your body on the line.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I am.
How are you feeling? Everything's still in working order, mate?
That's too bad. There's a lot of sort of people get thrown across beds and over beds and that sort of thing. So I try and show them how to get purchase and how to actually move your body to get them, flip them over onto the bed, and that sort of thing, and how not to hurt yourself.
How do you have this knowledge? He doesn't.
I have bruises.
Oh, come on, buddy.
I have a big-ass bruise on my knee.
Again, you're trying to show me when we're in a studio. Yeah. No one else can see you.
Let's have a look right at your bruise. Yeah.
It is a little bit of a bruise.
That is a big bruise, thank you.
Yeah, but also, off-air, you were saying that he shows you and you don't watch. So
She was talking about the watch. What happens is, and it's happened before in other shows I've done, where I've done big falls and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I've got my watch on, right?
Oh, your actual watch.
My actual watch. I've got my actual watch. Yeah. And it comes up. It looks like you've had a fall. Should we call 111 emergency?
Oh, my.
And then I've
got
to go, shit, hang on.
That happened in rehearsal.
Hang on a minute. Just got to. No.
Wow.
So I've got to remember to take my watch off.
Okay.
Otherwise it sees that I've had a fall, you see.
All right. So. Just want to reinforce that everyone is being safe.
Yes.
Everyone's being safe, yes.
And there will be mats on the floor.
We're doing it for your entertainment.
Yeah, we are.
That's the gist.
So there's a little bit of slapstick there.
I mean, it's classic. Yeah.
It's not
classic.
Charlie Chaplin style type thing, right?
Yeah.
We have women walls falling down on them, but yeah. That's pretty entertaining.
I mean, there's already enough doors to be getting on with. We don't want the walls to start getting involved.
No.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And just so you know, when you come to the show and you hear a door slamming against Cara, it's not really slamming against Cara. It's just stage magic.
Oh, see, now I don't want to come.
Oh, no, I really get hit in the head and stuff. It's terrible. You come.
Yeah.
I was trying for realism, but my cast are going,
a concussion, you know.
I mean, I agree. Mm. I agree. But no, it sounds like there is a lot of kind of stage magic happening.
Yeah, there's a bit. Yep.
I mean, if you haven't gathered, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on.
Yes.
And so I want to take a step away from all of everything that's going on. And again, a third cheeky question, which is, I know the focus right now is on unnecessary farce. But are there any other upcoming projects for either of you that you want to talk about, can talk about, have been?
For us personally, or like with Playbox?
With theatre.
Yeah.
Or any form of art. I mean, you can tell me about your personal life if you want. Safe space.
Well, no, Playbox has got another two productions coming up this year.
You do?
Yes, I've got The Weird Sisters.
Correct.
And Swallows and Amazons.
Yes.
I'm actually the stage manager for Swallows and Amazons.
Okay, you didn't want a break.
And the...
No, there's a break. It's
and
in June.
The, and my stage manager for Farce, she will be my assistant stage manager for Swallows and Amazons, because there's a lot going on as far as sets with Swallows and Amazons, because all the sets are on trucks and they're all moving back and forth.
Okay, shout out to the stage managers of
Sativa.
The world.
Yeah, shout out to the stage managers, definitely.
Okay.
Yes, and that's being directed by Graham Pollard.
Yes.
Swallows and Amazons.
Mm.
And, of course, we've got the other one, which is The Weird Sisters.
Yeah, Terry Pratchett, right?
Yes, correct.
Cara's just doing some mime.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's being directed by Nigel Slaughter.
Oh, yes, Slaughter? I think so.
Yeah, he's doing that.
Yeah.
I'll get close to the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nigel Slaughter, he's directing that one. So that's coming up later in the year.
That's a nice segue, because I just feel like we need to mention that Cara and I have worked together.
Yes.
But always backstage.
Always
and
backstage.
And I have never seen you on stage. And I want to see you on stage in this now.
So you should come and see me on stage, is
it? It's going to happen. And because I've said it on That's the Ticket, it means it has to happen.
Yes.
And this is the gift and the curse of the show, is you talk to people and then you get invested in the project. Now I feel like I'm part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
So please credit me in the program this time.
Oh, yes.
Special
definitely.
Consideration.
Yeah.
You're along with the bagpiper.
Thank you. Thank you. Legend. Or just like dramaturg, creative visionary, Hanamani. Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Creative visionary. I like that.
I made it up just now. But have you got anything else on the books, whether it's on stage or off stage?
Yes, I am in the Summer Shakespeare of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes, you are.
I am. There, we've got like 3 or 4 more shows.
Been doing double duty, mate.
Yes, I have.
How's that?
It was okay until the morning show on Sunday, where we had a dawn performance, and then I went straight into rehearsals for the fast until like 2 p.m. and I was like, I need to sleep.
That sounds character building, sis.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on the books after that?
No, not anything confirmed.
Okay. It's all right. I'll probably see you in the shadows at some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It's always good. And then we just hang out for like 2 weeks and then...
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I saw you at Kmart that time. That was random. Seeing each other in the wild, it's always weird. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess that's the testament to, like, theatre whanau's forever, right? Yes. You do a show, you get real tight with one group of people, and then you go your separate ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing about theatre is you can be on stage with someone 10 years ago, then suddenly they show up at the theatre, and it's like yesterday.
Yeah,
give each other a hug, and, oh, mate, what have you been doing, and all that. It becomes a real family, you know, environment when you're in theatre.
How long have you been in theatre?
Yeah, 35 years, about 35 years.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yep, and Cara, I mean, you're a baby, so...
I mean, I did school productions. Do they count? Then primary school.
Oh, wow. So like, literally your entire life.
Yeah, like 2015.
Oh!
2014, thank you.
Oh, gosh.
That's when I was in primary school.
Fun fact, my first performance was at Rivoli Theatre at the age of 3. Me and my twin sister, Kilda Dr. Mooney, were double cast as baby Jesus in the Christmas show.
Yes.
And I don't know if I was in any shows before I was Earthside, but my mum used to kind of just pregnant around the theatre.
Be pregnant around the theater.
No, because there was 2 of us. She was huge. And she was like, everyone used to just tell me to go home because I think they felt worried that I was going to just explode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fair. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Twins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to take the mic back for a minute. You guys can chill out while I plug some other upcoming events. Or if there's anything else you want to plug, safe space. But here's some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton in the not-so-distant future. So in case you missed it, Hamilton Playbox is presenting Unnecessary Farce at Rivoli Theatre, and that's running from the 13th to the 28th of March, 7:30 p.m. shows and 2 p.m. matinees on the 21st and 28th of March. More info on tickets at iTicket. The iconic Summer Shakespeare, which features Cara as well, is back, and they've got an array of different performances. I think you've got, is it Cambridge and Te Aumutu and Te Aroha left?
Was it doing one at Garden Place?
Yes.
And on the river.
Victoria on the River.
Yes.
Yeah. Just go check out the Waikato Summer Shakespeare 2026 Facebook page.
Yep, it's all there.
And note that entry for that one is koha.
Yep.
So, all good. Cash only, though. They do not have PayWave.
No.
We
have a QR code now.
Oh, wow.
You can pay online if you want.
Oh, shot. There's no excuse now, guys.
Oh, I mean...
And then the Meteor has the You, Me, Everybody band in on the 12th of March at 7 p.m. More info on tickets at themeteor.co.nz. And then Jim Beam Homegrown hits Hamilton next week on the 14th of March. And an awesome opportunity to explore the city, walk the bridge and feel the vibes will be running too with Bridge to Homegrown. So they've shut Claudin's Bridge and it will be closed for the occasion and open to anyone who fancies some festival energy, food trucks, activities and a safe direct route across the river. So, you know, I just kind of plugged that because it's very cool the idea that you can walk across a bridge that is only for cars because that bridge doesn't have a footpath, I don't think.
I don't know which bridge we're talking about.
It's the cycle one? The Claudin's Bridge.
Oh, the Claudelands,
Yeah. It's the one that's a share with a cycleway and the speed limit's 30k.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Sorry.
Okay, well, if you want to check it out, you're probably going to be doing a show, but...
Yeah.
More info on Bridge to Homegrown can be found at hlive.co.nz. Whew. I mean, I just want to end this by saying I'm not the definitive guide to all the, like, creative stuff happening in Hamilton because otherwise I wouldn't need my guests, and you guys have been pretty good value, I would say.
Oh, thank you.
But I've got one last question for you. that I like to ask my guests, because you guys have been here for the last like 45 minutes here on TTT, giving me the tea, the inside scoop on unnecessary fast. So I want to ask, how do you take your tea? Like if you're having a cup of tea.
And if I told you I don't drink tea?
I would believe it.
I drink hot chocolate.
Oh, of course you do.
I don't even drink coffee.
Yeah, that's fine. You got time. Or not.
I drink tea.
How do you take your tea?
Herbal tea, green tea.
Green tea?
Always green tea.
Okay. With milk?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm asking.
Oh, sorry.
I can't understand that. You go to a restaurant or something, you ask for tea, and then they say, oh, do you want milk? And I'm looking at them, it's herbal tea.
Nah, but I accidentally once put milk in a green tea.
Oh, my God, did you?
Yeah, it was... Here's the thing. Someone had accidentally put a green tea bag in the container with the black tea bags.
Oh, and right, okay,
it
yeah.
Wasn't, it didn't have, yeah. like, labelling.
Oh, just you're forgiven then.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
It put me off green tea for a good long time, though.
It would. Yeah, it would.
And then, because I didn't want to be rude, I just drank it.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I didn't want to be like, I took the first sip and I was like, this is not correct.
No, it's not. No, quite right.
But I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm just going to go tip this tea down the sink.
Yeah, no, you're
just
quite
left
right.
alone.
Yeah. So are you on the green teas in the rehearsal room?
No, they're on the coffee.
No, we're on just straight black coffee.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. Sounds about
strong,
right.
Strong black coffee.
Yeah. Liz comes in with like five cups of black coffee.
Actually, one good thing about being the director is people bring you coffees.
Yeah.
You don't have to get up and get
and
your own
lollies.
Coffee. And I bring the lollies.
No, Kat brought lollies.
Well, just the other night, but I've been bringing lollies, which is why I've put on 2 kilos since the rehearsal started.
Well, it is a very honest and safe space in the studio. What's your go-to lolly?
Snakes.
Bananas. You know those banana ones you buy with a kilo bag of bananas?
I love those.
They disappear real fast.
Half of my
container is with those bananas. Everyone dives in and grabs bananas. They actually grab a handful, put them in their pocket, and then they start rehearsing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would. I would too. Banana fruit bursts are also a favourite of mine if I'm backstage.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever eat lollies when I'm working backstage.
Yeah, no.
Are you snakes then?
Yeah, snakes.
Yeah, they're very popular amongst the actors.
I also don't eat them backstage as well. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Okay. That's a cheeky note to eat. Everyone just getting stuff off their chest. But thanks again for joining me today, guys. And break a leg. And if you're listening and think I'm threatening my guests, it means something positive. Well, we're not in the theatre, so I can say it, right? It means good luck.
Yeah.
But you never say good luck in the theatre.
No. So that's why you say break a leg, because it's like the opposite. Not threatening my guests, wishing them well on their way forward. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet I'll be back with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket soon. But until then, I'm going to play us out with a Hannah pick, because I managed to pick one song today, guys. So go me. And again, I tried to pick something on theme. And because the Doors are very prominent.
Yes.
I've gone with the song 8 Days a Week by the Beatles, because you have eight doors.
Eight doors, yes. Understand.
No, thank
good
you.
Pick, good pick.
I thank thought you were going to say you're going to play something from the Doors.
I thought about that. How do you feel about the Doors?
Beatles. I like the Beatles.
Okay, shot me. But thanks, team.
Yes, you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I need you. Hold me, love me. Hold me, love me. Ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week. Love you every day, girl. Girl, love you all the time.
show I care. Love you every day, girl. Always on my mind. One thing I can say, girl. Love you all the time. Hold me, love me. Hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week. 8 days a week. 8 days a week.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.